Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Paula Bovin news and notes. That is coming up at the bottom of the hour with the Cardinals game tonight. I've got a lot on my mind from the great sports weekend, but quite a bit on the Cardinals game tonight against the Ravens. So pretty much guest-free today. I just want to get in and out of some stuff. And you'll hear from Todd Heap, who was with us on the TV show last week on the Ravens and their struggles. But this is one of those deals where, straight off the top, it's not that difficult to break this down. If I'm sitting here tomorrow talking about an Arizona Cardinal loss, this would have to go down as one of the worst losses in the Bruce Arians tenure. There's not a question about that in any way, shape, or form. So let's get that straight up off the top. If they don't win tonight's game, what an absolute letdown. There's no reason why this shouldn't be a runaway. And, you know, on Monday Night Football, teams are a little more or a lot more jacked up. I get that. So I'm just willing to take a win tonight. It may not be the prettiest of games. I'm willing to take a win next week against Cleveland before the bye week. These next 2 weeks are games that the Cardinals should win. We don't need to sit here and put on analysts to break down if they should beat Baltimore or not. This is not that hard. We do not need to sit here and break it down. Now, tomorrow I'm going to have Peter King, for our weekly segment. We're going to talk about Johnny Manziel tomorrow because the Cardinals may face him this coming Sunday. That's tomorrow. Tonight, the Ravens stink. Okay, they've allowed 11 touchdown passes. They have just 3 interceptions on the season. They are beat up. They're heading nowhere. Steve Smith had to come out and say, if the Ravens trade me, I will up and retire. That's what they're talking about because the team is not good. Now, in Monday Night Football, you never know. Teams and trying to figure out 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds, sometimes they're just not that mature and they're just not quite ready. In this case with the Cardinals, Carson Palmer should have a big night tonight. The Ravens secondary is not good. So I'm not going to sit here and do a whole hour on whether or not the Cardinals need to do this or do that to win tonight's game. This is pretty simple. It's a team that's 1-5 that should be 1-6 at home. Yeah, they played a tough schedule. I get it. They played a tough schedule. And when the 49ers kick you all over the place like they did last week, eventually at some point, teams turn the corner. It's the one caveat here. John Harbaugh is a really good coach, in my opinion. And he can get the most out of his players. And he hasn't been able to do that so far this season. And yeah, they've had to come out west. And yeah, they've had to play a brutal stretch. It's kind of like if you were to play the Bears now, if you're the Cardinals, you probably wouldn't just run away and hide from them because they have a good coach there. And John Fox, I think, is starting to get things turned around in the right direction. It's when you play teams. So in that sense, it's a dangerous game tonight. The Cardinals should win. There shouldn't be any reason to sit here and debate it. But and the Ravens have done nothing right. But at some point, does John Harbaugh find a formula, a magic button? Should the Cardinals tonight go out and reestablish their run game? Look, if you're going to be the Cardinal fan that is telling me this is a great football team, then I have to turn around and say to you, well, I don't know. Who have they beaten that's any good so far this year? I'm not going to apologize for the victories, nor should they. But anybody that has watched this team week in and week out knows full well that St. Louis and Pittsburgh are far superior teams. Even with a third-string quarterback, it didn't look good yesterday at all in Pittsburgh. They're far superior than the teams that the Cardinals have beaten so far this year. So, you know, on one hand, should totally take care of business tonight. On the other, at some point, John Harbaugh brings them together. But if we're stacking up rosters, I'll take the one here in Arizona any day of the week. And again, I'm looking at when they get to Seattle and they get to Cincinnati. I'm looking at after the bye week. That's what I do here. I look at teams black and white. They're better than Baltimore. Go out tonight, take care of business. Next week, they're better than Cleveland. Go out and take care of business. So there's that. Todd Heap was with us earlier on the television show, and we have our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. It is Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday nights, before and after, whatever is the play-by-play of the night. If it's the Suns or the Coyotes, we're on before and after at 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock and 1 a.m., and I had Todd Heap on the TV show and talked to him about the troubles that the Ravens were having. This was earlier. Okay, so that was earlier, and that was with Todd Heap. And when you don't have a whole lot of things clicking at some point, do they click? That is on my mind For tonight's game. Again, no need to sit here and do hours and hours of this. This is not that hard. If it's the Seahawks, yeah, let's go through the positions. Let's go through the matchups. Baltimore tonight, really, if Patrick Peterson does his thing, Tyrann Mathieu does his thing against Steve Smith, Joe Flacco, if they get on him and get any sort of pass rush, I just don't think this is going to be much of a game tonight. I don't. So there's that. The thing that's far more interesting to me is what happened over the weekend in the NFL. So I'm one of those guys that when I decided to do what I'm doing here with Sports 360 and seeing 4 years ago that digital is where it's going and the web is where it's going, then that you're sitting out there and you're consuming everything through this rather than a big screen. And yesterday, the NFL, I've had people tell me, Brad, you're so far ahead of the curve here. You're the guy selling cable TV back in 1983 to the guys that have rabbit ears on their television. They'll say, well, I have my rabbit ears. And then all of a sudden, boom. Yesterday was a boom day for the NFL. And I'm going to get into this a little bit later in the show in about 10 minutes. I was out on Friday night, saw Todd Graham. So talk some college football. Saw Taylor Mazzoni, the quarterback coach from UCLA. They were both watching the quarterback out at Bashus. We'll talk some recruiting. Rich Rod's name is all over the place for coaching openings. You know, as I'm sitting here today, I don't see where Rich Rod's going to be the coach at U of A next year. This is just me. He's not going to get fired, but there's just too many jobs that are coming open and too many angles of people, and they're better jobs than the U of A. It's not a basketball school job. So we'll get into that in a little bit, and then Paula at the bottom of the hour. The NFL yesterday streamed a game on Yahoo. They didn't put it on television for you to see. They streamed it on Yahoo. And the numbers of people, the millions of numbers of people that watch the game on the stream rather than television. If I'm a television network executive today, I have to be scared. I have to think maybe I should be updating my resume, because as this digital universe is taking over, when you have people in 50 other countries that are watching NFL product, and the stream didn't drop yesterday, there was no crashing of the signal. Yeah, there were places where it jammed up from what I've read on social media and read some articles about it. I yesterday went to my iPhone. I went yesterday to my tablet. I was out yesterday and logged in and watched, and I had no problems. And the size of the screen doesn't matter. I watched it on, I even tried to watch it on my Xbox, you know? Tried to, but I'm just not that technically savvy. So that's just me, you know, but I did it on my laptop. I did it on my tablet. And I did it on my iPhone. There's a little bit of a delay, but that was it. It was three different devices where I didn't have to be sitting at home. I didn't have to be sitting in a sports bar. I could just go about my day and go about my business and watch the games I was going on and check my fantasy team and all that. And I'm sure many of you were the same as me, or maybe the same as me. I'm not the 25-year-old millennial, obviously. And yet, as a guy that loves sports and consumes sports, I don't have to be sitting there anymore having DirecTV Red Zone channel. I don't have to do that. I could go out and enjoy my day like I did yesterday. I'm sitting in a swimming pool yesterday with my son's water polo match, watching an NFL game and getting everything I needed. Everything I needed. And I could go about my day rather than just killing it sitting indoors on a nice day. The NFL, so Peter King wrote in his column today, we'll have Peter again with us tomorrow. Peter's with us every week. Peter wrote, the NFL wanted to see three things when it decided to take one of its three Sunday morning games from London and show it free on the internet only, rather than a television network or its domestic and international subscription services. The first thing is the league wanted to know if the picture quality would be good when millions of people tried to access the game at the same time, not just in America, but around the world, given the internet infrastructures varies widely. And I would say what I've seen online, I read where a couple people in Mexico said it was kind of sketchy, it froze up. Well, maybe that's the internet in Mexico, okay? So that was of interest to me. The second thing Peter wrote that the league wanted to see if there was an appetite for the game in some of the places where the NFL is underserved. Russia and China, for instance, and a Sunday morning game in Eastern Time would be a Sunday evening primetime game in large swaths of Asia. And they did see big numbers. Three, would it all go smoothly enough so the project might expand and more games would be exclusively streamed to be next year on the net? So the NFL, because they are the NFL and they just like to stomp on anything that is within their reach of competition. Like the NBA season opens on Wednesday. I don't hear any buzz at all nationally about the NBA starting. None. World Series this week. If you're outside of Kansas City and New York City, I don't get a whole lot of buzz or seeing a whole lot about the World Series. I, as a sports fan, I will watch. But the NFL, now that they've done this, how many games are they going to start pushing that way so that you will access those games online? People like to do the next cool thing. They do. Sports fans, guys like to geek out. Like, Jordy, you're a geek guy. You're a geek gadget guy, right? I mean, you're Inspector Gadget, we call you. Yeah. And did you watch yesterday's game by chance?
I saw a little bit of it. Okay. Not a ton.
And so you went to a device. You're a 20-something millennial. Mm-hmm. And did it impact your experience checking out? And I understand it was a who cares game. If you're a Jacksonville Buffalo fan, I get it. Mm-hmm. But you're not. You're neither one of those. Were you captivated by it yesterday? Was it something that was intrusive? It screwed up your NFL viewing habits?
No, not at all. I mean, it was something that it was pretty darn user friendly and easy. I had it up on my iPad, and you know, while we had the other games on the TV as well, so it worked out really nicely.
Yeah. And so you do it again?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So if you're a fan today and let's just say the Cardinals said our game this week will not be on television. It's going to be streamed. Now, Fox here in the Valley would go crazy because they've made a living off of carrying the Cardinals games. I think tonight ABC 15 has the game, which is fine. When I was at Channel 3, we'd have the game and it was like this just ridiculous day of, let's go out and, Brad, you're going to be down on the field and you're going to say there's a game going on tonight. But don't give away too much of that because fans don't want to hear about sports. Really? Why are you putting me out there then? And then you're going to toss it out to so-and-so and she's going to be out with some crazy Cardinal fans and they're going to be jumping around with signs. Really? Yeah. And then we're going to show pictures of the band out there because we don't want people to know that there's a football game because people care more about the stuff before and after. This was the nonsense and the crapola I would put up with in TV newsrooms. So, by the way, that's just a little rant on my part. That's what's going to happen tonight. You're going to see the shot of the stadium behind you and how pretty it is, but forget about getting any context. Forget about getting anything more. There's no beef sandwiches coming. It's going to be, here's a band, and they may put Michael on the air to talk about how great the Cardinals are and how many times Bruce can say University of Phoenix Stadium. And, that's it. That's it. And after the game's over, they may get a player down on the field of some substance. They may. But if you're watching the game online and you can take it with you and you don't have to sit through all this stuff, it's just the game showing up. It's a game changer. Those that don't want to get into the internet, like the internet is an evil deal, that's where TV sports programming is going. It's going to be the 1980s, or in this case, in 2015, we watch games on television. Well, I don't know. In 2025, I think we're going to be watching everything online because people aren't going to just sit around their houses and be absolutely strapped where they can't go enjoy it. Anyways, that was really good. Really, really good. On the other side, some coaching news on the college football front. Where does Rich Rodriguez fit into this? And Mike Norvell, the offensive coordinator at ASU, his name is starting to pop up at a couple of jobs. I'll tell you where. Put some context to it next. Paula Bovin in 10 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's get into college weekend and Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes. ASU off. They play Oregon on Thursday night. We'll be out there much more on that game tomorrow and on Wednesday and even Thursday show as well. U of A played Washington State, and we have some good U of A and a lot of good Washington State. And the U of A, the ASU fans don't like hearing this, but too bad. It's a fact. When you don't have a bye week, you are going to play a game where you stink. And I think that's what happened to U of A. And out of that, Washington State's really good. Do we have any good U of A? Yeah, go ahead and just roll it in. Just roll it on in, guys. Because there were some moments with U of A where it looked like they're going to make some things happen. And it was on special teams. Eric was down at the game and doing his thing. And, They had some special teams, and they were able to make some plays happen. But the touchdown there by the Wildcats. But I think if we switch over to Washington State, Washington State is the story that in the conference so far this year, Luke Falk's been great. Eric and I were talking about this. Eric was going to go to Pullman because he's never been. And then I said, you know, you might want to hold off for U of A against USC. I think that's going to be a better game and a more impactful game in the Pac-12 South. I did not anticipate Washington State doing this. So I'm sitting here today. Eric's out of the – he'll be at the Cardinals game tonight. I'm kicking around the idea, guys, of saying, hey, you got to go to Pullman now. Jordy, you think I should drop that on him? Just buy the ticket and just say you're going?
Yeah.
You went to Salt Lake.
Yep.
You've never been to Pullman, though, right?
I have not.
You haven't, yeah.
I haven't had the
You want to go?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to punt it. I mean, send Eric up there and just have him have a great time. So
yeah.
I'm kicking around that idea. After Washington State beat U of A over the weekend, all of a sudden, Washington State Stanford turns into a great game this coming Saturday. In fact, I haven't seen yet if Game Day announced it. Game Day is considering. They're not going
to
do it now?
Nope. They're going to Philadelphia for Temple Notre Dame.
You're going
to
Temple Notre Dame? That's
yep.
like, you know. Gosh, that just feels like what I had to sit through Saturday night when ABC said, let's show Rutgers and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, really? You know what you're in for? But it's Notre Dame, so they're going to get a number. They're not going to get a number up in Pullman. That's unfortunate. I would have liked to see Washington State Stanford. But Temple. And Temple's a great story this year, but that just has all the makings of 55-10 or something. Man. So beyond that, the weekend of college football, to me, was actually a little bit more interesting than the NFL, other than Greg Hardy being a fool. And gosh, we're really surprised Greg Hardy's being a fool down with the Cowboys. If you're a Cowboy fan, how embarrassing. And, you know, and San Diego doesn't want to be in San Diego anymore, and they played like it yesterday against the Raiders. But on the college end, I thought it was a really interesting weekend. We had said last week that we felt like Utah was overrated, and Utah certainly showed it, and the guys in Vegas knew it from day one last week. Vegas had USC as the favorite over Utah, and USC won handily. Then Miami just gets destroyed, and Miami's a mirage job. By that, I mean it looks great on the outside. Then you get on the inside. When's the last time Miami was truly relevant? Truly relevant. And, you know, they've been in NCAA jail. There's great people that have been to Hurricanes. Jody Jackson over at Fox Sports, great Hurricane. Calais Campbell, great Hurricane here in the Valley, but their program's an embarrassment. And so they fired Charlie. They fired their coach there. Charlie Strong at Texas this morning said, I am not interested in that job, which, okay, did his agent say that? You know, go back to the agents. But let's go through this list now of some jobs that are open. And as I'm sitting here today, I just have a feeling, and maybe a little bit of insight, I just chatting with people in the circles. Rich Rod's not going to be at U of A next year, in my opinion. He's not going to be at U of A. And there's some jobs that are coming open or may come open. If the Virginia Tech job comes open, there's a pretty good shot of that coming open. To me, that's a place where Rich Rod could end up. If the Georgia job comes open, and this week Georgia plays Florida, and if Florida beats Georgia, some real strong connections with Rich Rod and the people associated with the process at Georgia. Mike Norvell's name showed up over the weekend in a couple of places. Now, some of it's online and some of it is from people whose opinions I do respect. Mike Norvell to Colorado. Is it time to pull the plug on Colorado? And is Colorado one of those jobs you just look at and say, nobody's going to win there as long as the facilities are dumpy? It's a beautiful area, but it's a dump. I've been there. It's a dump. As much as I call Sun Devil Stadium a dump, and it is. The only difference between the dumpy stadium in Tempe and the dumpy stadium up in Boulder is it's beautiful up in Boulder. It's not bad in Tempe, but it's not Boulder. Let's not confuse the issue here. Can you recruit to Colorado? When you see guys that leave Colorado, Kalen Ballage, top running back in Colorado, and he decides, I'm not even going to sniff Colorado. I'm going to go to Arizona State. How does that happen? How do you lose players? There's enough players in Colorado to me that you could win. But Mike Norvell's name has shown up at Colorado. Mike Norvell's name popped up at Kansas State over the weekend. Kansas State, to me, if you look at that job, Bill Snyder wants to retire and wants his son to take over. Bill Snyder has been the grumpy man at Kansas State who's done a terrific job for a long period of time. Again, not the greatest facilities in the world. Big 12 conference somehow finds a way to be relevant there. Why is it Mike Norvell's name is suddenly popping up on radar screens? Huh, this really isn't that hard. Could it be that the alums and the sponsors, and even some within the athletic administration that are not happy with Mike Norvell's play calling, are starting to get to him? And basically Todd's saying, hey, get out while the getting's good. If Todd doesn't have success this year, Todd's not going to get whacked. But you know there's going to be that time where the AD comes down the hall or people come down the hall and say, you have to make changes to your staff. That is going to happen when you don't win. I don't think Todd has total autonomy in that way. Over at USC, Rich Rod's name has shown up at USC. I don't see that happening. I don't think Rich is real comfortable in that circle of intermingling with people. Don't mistake this, ASU fans. Rich Rod is a hot commodity and very popular. Now, Michigan fan will disagree with you, but he was set up to fail from day one when he was there. Central Florida's open. South Carolina's open. There's connections with Rich Rod in South Carolina, but I don't see that as being a better job than Georgia's of these jobs. Virginia Tech and Georgia, far better. Mack Brown's name showed up over the weekend for Virginia. Mack Brown trying to get back into the game. But I think the interesting story here is Norvell, Colorado, Norvell, Kansas State. I'm hearing a lot about Rich Rod. And look, this may be the year of all years. We're seeing all these jobs open, and it's only the 26th of October. Guys getting blown out right and left. Jim Mora's name is popping up for the NFL. This could be a good year in the Pac-12 South if you're Todd Graham. Could be. On the recruiting front, you could have as many as three or four jobs open. You can't tell me Kyle Whittingham wouldn't want to bolt out of Utah. So the coming weekend, Oregon here against ASU. Obviously must win if you're an ASU fan. I love how ASU fans send me notes on Saturday night saying, see, we told you U of A was overrated. And then I write back, you still need their help. And then they get all bent out of shape. F you, bleep this, bleep that. Okay, show me your intelligence here. If that's the way you're going to go and converse about this stuff. And then I'll get the rational ASU fan that gets it. Yeah, U of A needs to help ASU. U of A fan doesn't want to hear that. But if U of A beats Utah and beats USC, and I don't think either one is going to happen right now, but if they did, it would certainly help the Sun Devils' chances in the Pac-12 South. Paula Bovin is next. News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, most importantly, my friend. That's next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin on a Monday where the Cardinals play tonight against the Ravens. This should not be a game, in my opinion. How about you?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be closer than people think. Cardinals should win, but the fact that so many of those Ravens losses have been close, pretty much all of them, just makes me wonder if they're a little bit better than people think. But the good news is I think they have a really young secondary. I think Carson Palmer can exploit that.
We had Todd Heap on earlier, the former Raven, and he was talking about how they've just had too many young players come in. Mm-hmm. And, Steve Smith has had to go out and say, look, if they trade me, then I'm retiring. So when you're answering that on a week when you're playing a Monday night football game, that's never a good thing. I guess the one side of this is when John Harbaugh is coaching a team, eventually that team's going to figure it out. It's kind of like, Paula, if the Cardinals were to play the Bears today, I think it would be a much more competitive game because John Fox is finally able to get rid of some people and get things head in the right direction. So I can see that to a point. But still, if this team is really legit, I think tonight is a litmus test. This isn't just another game if you're the Cardinals.
No, I think that's very fair. And, it sounds like there's been major soul-searching going on with that team. I don't sense they're overly concerned, but there's more of a sense of urgency than they felt. And I do think we'll see a big performance by that offense. Maybe Larry Fitzgerald involved a little more, the running game getting back on track, things like that. I mean, they're certainly set up to win and poised to win and all those other things. But you know, anytime you've got a one victory team that has had a lot of close games, I just always think that's a little bit of concern. But I definitely think Cardinals will walk away with the victory here.
Am I overstating it if I were to say to you, and look, every NFL game's a big game. I get that. That's a cliche. But in the Bruce Arians tenure, okay, these two games coming into this bye week are as big as he's had. These aren't just two teams that you're better than you should beat. If you don't win these games or even split these two games, it's no great shame to lose at Cleveland next week, but they're probably going to have Manziel quarterback if he's not suspended. There's going to still be this lingering, I don't know how good this team really is. And I know this year in the NFL, there's a bunch of undefeated teams you look at and say, are they really that good? Or are they just that lucky? I guess from the Cardinals' end of things, these 2 weeks are games you should put W's next to before you even play them, I think.
Well, and I think, I mean, and I just think it's really important just because of how the schedule's going to shape up after these two games. I mean, you need to sort of send a message, you know, to opponents. This is the real team, not the one you've seen in the last couple weeks. And I just think that, you know, the Cardinals themselves have need to realize that what's happened the last few weeks has been on them. It's not, you know, these opponents were making exceptional plays or decisions. It was on them, and I think they've come to acknowledge that. I mean, even, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, who's been awesome most of his career here, not have a good game in last time the Cardinals played. So I think there was some soul searching going on, but I agree. I mean, I think these two games are huge, and I think they need to walk away with victory.
Yeah, I don't get usually too wound up about games in October because it is a dang long season, but you just feel it. Did you watch the stream game yesterday at all?
I did. I didn't watch all of it, but I, you know, midway through, I joined in. You know, and to be honest, at least on my end, I thought it was pretty flawless as far as technical, and that's what I was interested in. I hooked up my computer to my television and did it that way. Mm-hmm. And you know, the one thing that bugged me is not having, because I've become such a DVR person, not having that ability to rewind or stop or look at a play. And I think that's something, you know, Yahoo or whoever, if they're going to continue to do this, they need to get an answer to.
The numbers were staggering in some people's minds, just the millions and millions it did watch rather than just, I got to watch it on my television. But I mean, it's kind of like what I'm doing here. People are much more accepting now of digital than they were 3, 4, 5 years ago. And I could see where the NFL down the road is saying, you want to watch the Cardinals game, you've got to watch it over here on the stream side. There's not going to be a say in place by fans. Fans didn't have a say on the Jacksonville-Buffalo game. You know, if you're a fan of Buffalo and Jacksonville, this is how you're going to watch it. And the amount of money that is there, and it, within 5 years, yesterday was a big day in technology, I think.
It was, you know, and I know, I think most of the TV contracts right now with the NFL go till 22, so there's some time, obviously. But, you know, I mean, every year it's younger people that are able to embrace this sort of technology. And it's going to keep obviously going that way. And now it's just not a big deal to watch something on your iPhone, to have an Apple TV, you know, to have your tablet. People are finding a million ways to do it. And you're right. I don't think they're caring as much or as concerned about. You'll have an older generation that doesn't want to embrace that idea. But the reality, too, is they're not going to be around forever. So it certainly seems to me that this is the direction we're heading. And, you know, I thought this experiment was a success from the technological standpoint.
Talking with Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, sports360az.com. You're going to be at the game tonight, I'm assuming, yeah?
I am.
Yeah, and of course you can follow her on Twitter. On the college end of things, so I thought U of A ran into, finally at some point, the air is going to come out of them as a team that you cannot do 12 straight weeks without having a bye week. And I'll give Washington State some credit. They're pretty darn good. The Cougs are good. What did you make out of U of A losing Saturday?
Yeah, I obviously they still have some issues, I think, on that team that's just going to be addressed the more they continue to recruit. And they recruited well, and they just need to keep recruiting better. I do feel, and it's just the raw end of the deal, but I do feel for that schedule, not only not having a bye week, but having those, you know, afternoon. I think they've had, what, two in a row afternoon now? Is that right?
And they have an 8 o'clock this coming Saturday up in Seattle.
Okay. Okay, so that, you know, that'll be a change. But, yeah, I think they obviously drew the short stick when it came to the schedule. But they're, you know, I think that's been a hard place. Obviously, it has been to be a successful football program. And I don't think success is, you know, just around the corner. You hire a great coach, which I think Rich Rodriguez is, but you need to start upgrading the facilities. But down there, it's just a process because it has never been really a priority among fans or anything else, and even the whole game day atmosphere. I watched, it looked like a fair amount of empty seats, at least midway through the game. People were kind of bailing. I don't know if it was hot. I mean, you need all those things to be successful, and I think there's still a bit of a work in progress with that program.
Yeah, I just think there's going to be a change down there at the end of this season. That's just me. It's not them making a change. I just think Rich has done about as well as he can do. And there's too many jobs that are coming open or are right. going to come open with people in place that have connections to Rich. And that's just
well. And you remember when Stoops left, one of the things he said after he left was that he found it hard to succeed, you know, when your facilities and everything else were not up to par. Now, obviously, they're starting to change that, and they've got some nice facilities that they've built. But, you know, he was an example of a guy who was very discouraged by being able to succeed down there. So that's interesting what you say about Rodriguez, is thinking maybe he's going to end up with taking another job somewhere else.
Just me. Just right. I'm the one going out there and just saying, as I'm sitting here today and I'm reading tea leaves and hearing things, I think that there's going to be a change down there, in my opinion, at the end of this year. And it's not a change from Greg. I just think that there's too many attractive jobs and Rich has got too many ties into places, but it's just
right,
me.
Right.
Mike Norvell's name did show up over the weekend in Colorado and at Kansas State. And as a potential replacement, it was published in both places. It's been out there nationally. So this isn't any breaking. I've got insight here. Mm-hmm. I am not surprised that his name is starting to get filtered out there. I do think it's a Todd Graham to Mike Norvell or Mike Norvell's people saying, you know, you may have done as well as you can do at Arizona State, and maybe it's time for you to head on out. I saw Todd Friday night on the sidelines out at a high school game. His boom copter rolled on in, and which was interesting. But do you think Norvell's ready to be a head coach?
Well, I know he's got a lot of as young as he is, I would totally understand someone take a chance on him. And yes, I think he's ready. You know, despite what's happened this season, you can't overlook what's happened all these other seasons. He's really good. And I thought Doug Haller had a really good story this past week about what a great recruiter he is. You know, Doug quoted some players that, you know, talked about why they came to ASU over other places. So he's got sort of the communication aspect. He's got the leadership aspect. You know, now he's felt what it's like to get hammered a little bit. I think that was something he probably hadn't faced before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I talked to Graham about Norvell quite a bit last week, and he swears sort of his loyalty to him and everything else. They're close friends. But, as well as Norvell is paid here, and he is paid very well, doesn't every coach want to be a head coach? I'm sure if that opportunity presents itself. Maybe he wasn't ready last year, the year before when there was courtship. But I'm guessing he might feel ready now.
Well, if you look at some of these jobs, Paula, that are open, I think Miami's a mirage job. I think anybody who takes that's just going to go down there, and they may get some early success and say, oh, yeah, we got all these recruits. Miami can't get out of their own way. And the NCAA is always going to have an eye on Miami, and you got to recruit against Florida State and all that. So I don't know if that's a great job. Maryland, not a great job. You know, Maryland's open, but you're in a conference where you're going to get your head kicked in all the time. Right. USC, if Clay Helton wins out, why does Clay Helton not get that job?
Right.
If you look at South Carolina, it's okay. But if this Saturday, if Mark Richt loses this Saturday, Georgia to Florida, I think there's going to be a change there. That's a much better job. Kansas State, you're following Bill Snyder. I don't know if that's a great place to go to. Colorado, horrible facilities.
Right.
So is this the hiring cycle season for Mike Norvell? That may have been in last year. What was it, 2 years ago? You remember this. His name showed up like at Arkansas Pine Bluff or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, these jobs better?
I think you're going to find most jobs out there, there's going to be the question marks. Who you're following? What are their facilities? What kind of recruits do they have in? I think these guys, though, the opportunity presents itself. like I said, they want to be a head coach. There's obviously the money that's involved in everything else, but you work all these long hours to be that guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if Norvell is a guy that we see leave this program soon because of that.
Before I let you go, so this is not an indictment of the team, but the NBA opens tomorrow night, oh, by the way, and I don't hear any buzz anywhere. I had somebody that sent me a note this morning saying the Suns are doing Groupons for Steve Nash night on Friday night. I'm not here to pile on them, but I cannot remember the start of an NBA season where there's been so little buzz.
Well, yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think I've kind of felt this way with the Suns the last few years, and just as someone covering them, I'm sort of more optimistic about their chances this season than I've been in a while. But I mean, they've done this to themselves. They haven't been in the playoffs for a while, and you know, postseason is often what drives fan interest. Mm-hmm. When you get in the postseason, there's been that hope of, you know, even if you don't get out of the first round, that hope of what could be. When you're not getting in there and you're not generating that excitement for an extra month or whatever into the season, fans jump off the bandwagon. And I think, you know, I think this is more promising than it's been in a while, but they're going to have to earn fans' interest and trust back. And it hasn't been the case lately.
Yeah, they're 41 wins to me. I mean, that's an easy number to throw out. It means they're a 500 team. It means they may make the playoffs. They may not. But
right.
You know, and the Coyotes have had a nice little start, but those two franchises have just fallen off the map here. And which is discouraging. You know, we should not be a sports market where it is just one or two teams because we've had incompetence with the hockey thing. And on the basketball side, you can make some argument on incompetence, but just poor decisions. And man, I just don't like to see two teams just completely off the tracks here. And that's where they are. So.
Well, yeah, but and I agree with you, but I also think for both there's more hope this season with the Coyotes, just, you know, having those two young guys at least get off to the strong start.
Yep.
Now they have to stick with it, but I mean, I think that's turned some heads. But it's always a struggle for the Coyotes here. I think the Suns can do it faster if they get a couple of big wins early, but we'll have to see.
All right, see you. Stay well.
All right, Brett.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, with us every week. On the other side, we're going to circle back on a few other things on my mind before we get through hour number one, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. So over the weekend on, Friday night, I decided to go out and see the number one quarterback in the state. We do high school, college, pro, no particular order, pro, college, high school. Tonight, Eric will be at the Cardinals game. Jordan's heading over to ASU after we're done with the show today. We have our TV show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday nights at 6, 10, and 1 a.m. And actually, we're adding a fourth airing of that as well starting next week, which we'll tell you about, which is cool. But I always like to see who's coming up next. And I think fans like to know who's coming up next as well. When Brett Hundley was at Chandler High School as a freshman, I remember Larry Fitzgerald pulling me aside saying, "What do you know about this Hundley kid? I've been here and I need to go see him." And so I go out to a game. I told Fitz that I'll see you at the game at Chandler High School. And he tried to bring out like five of his teammates and security wouldn't let them in. Like, "Excuse me, guys, it's Larry Fitzgerald, okay?" And we're standing in the end zone. He's watching Hundley and he's like this, that. You go to the Cardinals locker room, those guys all want to know who the next ones coming up are. There's a buzz about those players. So there's a quarterback out of Basha High School, which happens to be where my kids all went to school. So I've been aware of this kid for a while. He's now a junior. And on Friday night, do we have the video of this? Friday night, Todd Graham was doing his high school recruiting thing. And he actually took the helicopter. This is over at Perry High School. And Todd gets off the helicopter. And he had his son with him and had Chip Long, the recruiting coordinator. There's Todd in the white jacket. And they're there to watch this quarterback, Ryan Kelly, who's only a junior. So I decided to go out and watch the kid, too. I've seen him on film. We have a partnership with the Chandler School District, so they stream their games through Sports 360 AZ, which is cool. The students do the production, all that stuff. They do the play-by-play. It's great. So I've seen this kid, but I watched him in person. I get there, and Taylor Mazzoni is over in the corner. Taylor Mazzoni is a quarterback coach at UCLA. So he's in the corner of the end zone by himself. I get there at 6:30. Game starts at 7. Walk over, shake his hand. We stood there for, I don't know, 45 minutes just shooting the bleep on things going on high school recruiting, which is always fun, and players and evaluation. And this kid made a throw about a 60-yard on a dime in triple coverage. And when I see a quarterback coach at a college like UCLA put his hands on his head and just go, wow. Okay, that's kind of cool. Todd was not there yet. Todd was over at Mountain Point watching players. But it all rolls in together. You know, the high school thing on Friday. Saturdays we do the college. Sunday is, you know, tonight we'll be out at the Cardinals game. But it was kind of fun on Friday night to be out and just see somebody that you know next year. The kids already narrowed it down. I think it's Oregon, UCLA, Arizona State are three of the five. I don't want to, the other two he's got. But it's worth the price of admission if you want to see some kids that are out. And this Friday night, we'll be out at Chandler against Hamilton. That game will actually be on our stream. There's probably about 15, what do you think, Jordy, 15, 20 Division I kids between those two programs?
I'd say that's a fair estimate.
It's a fair, it may even be low.
Yeah.
But college coaches have told me, recruiting coordinators and college coaches have told me, our first stops when we come to Arizona are on Arizona Avenue, meaning where Chandler plays Hamilton. They're about 3 miles apart. If you're anywhere else around the state, you're all been out of shape because you're all very territorial. I get it. I get it. Send the hate mail. Knock yourself out. But if you want to see college and potential pro players, those are the two programs, and they meet this Friday night. That game will be sold out. There'll be people standing on top of cars, which is what they do. There's not people sitting on top of houses. It's in the middle of a neighborhood in Chandler. Not making this up. If you haven't been to that environment, it's pretty crazy. It's cool. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Eric is going to be out tonight at the Cardinals game. You can follow him on Twitter, at Eric Sorensen. And then we're back at it tomorrow with Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, with us. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for jumping on board.